the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, my sisters and brothers, we give thanks for the life and the witness of Saint Peter, the Apostle. Not as one who was perfect, but as one who was redeemed, one who was transformed by grace. Peter is in many ways the most human of the apostles. Why? Because he was impulsive, he was bold, he was flawed, and he was fiercely devoted. And because of that, his life gives us both comfort and challenge as we follow Christ in our time. The collect today speaks of many excellent gifts given to Peter, and rightly so. But those gifts were not given to him all at once, nor were they given to a man already perfected. Peter is called while still mending his fisher nets, and he follows Jesus in trust, but also often he follows Jesus in confusion. He sinks in the sea when his faith wavers. He protests Jesus' path to the cross, only to be rebuked. And in the final hour, he denies his Lord. Not once, but three times he denied his Lord. And yet, my friends, the Lord does not cast him off. After the resurrection, Jesus restores him. Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And three times he commands, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. The fallen Peter becomes the shepherd Peter. I want us later on when we go home to look again at the Old Testament lesson appointed, because I'm tying the Old Testament with the epistle and the gospel. The Old Testament is from Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. The Old Testament from Ezekiel. We are reminded what a true servant of God must be. Ezekiel tells us what a true servant of God must be. The prophet is told to stand and receive God's Spirit. He is being sent to a rebellious house, to the people who may or may not listen. And God makes it very clear to Ezekiel. God says, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Ezekiel's calling is not to comfort, but to confront. Not to please the people, but to speak the word of the Lord faithfully. That was Ezekiel's task. Peter's ministry followed that same prophetic path. He was sent to preach Christ crucified, not to those eager to hear, but to a world that rejected the gospel, often violently. And today's epistle from Acts, we find Peter imprisoned under Herod, facing likely execution after James, the brother of John, has already been killed. And yet, the church prays. The church prays, and God intervenes. An angel comes, chains fall, the doors open. Why this rescue, my friends? I had to ask myself the question when I prepared this sermon. Why this rescue? Not because Peter was better than James, but because Peter's work was not yet done. God preserves whom he will. God is God. God preserves who he wills for as long as he wills for the sake of the gospel. What we see here is that no prison can hinder the will of God when it is his time to act. No prison. And what was the heart of Peter's ministry? We see the heart of Peter's ministry in today's gospel, where Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I am?" They offer the popular theories. Some say you're a prophet, some say you're a teacher, some say you're a forerunner. That's what. But Peter speaks what heaven reveals to him. Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus reply? Jesus says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Here, my friends, is the turning point. Not Peter's character, but his confession is the rock. The truth that Jesus is the Christ is the foundation upon which the church is built. Let me repeat. The truth that Jesus is the Christ is the foundation upon which the church is built. And that truth is not discovered by cleverness, but revealed by the Father. Peter is given the keys, not as a personal possession, but as a trust. He is charged with the ministry of binding and loosing, of proclaiming the forgiveness of sins, of shepherding the flock in Christ's name. But the commission is rooted not in Peter's strength, but in God's mercy. Peter was not involved in carrying out his ministry, but God's ministry. And that is what I always say. The ministry I am involved is not mine, but God's ministry. So what does this mean for us as we commemorate St. Peter? It means, my sisters and brothers, that the church in every age, yesterday, today, and forever, must be prophetic like Ezekiel, willing to speak the truth, not wavering from the truth, even when it is not welcomed. And that is what is happening now, in this 21st century. The world wants to tell us what to preach. Not so. We must be willing to speak the truth, as we find in Holy Writ, even when it is not welcomed. It means we must be prayerful and dependent like the early church. We must not waver from how the early church exercised their ministry. No. Believing that God can still send angels, God can still open prison doors, God can still deliver his servants in his time, not our time. And it means we must be confessional, like Peter, rooted in the clear declaration that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is the only foundation upon which anything eternal can be built. Jesus and Jesus alone. So Peter is not great because he was without sin, but because he trusted the one who forgave him, and he trusted the one who called him again. And the same call is ours, my sisters and brothers. The same call is ours. It is simply to follow Christ, never to give up when times get bad and hard, when we feel depressed and lonely, when we feel, why continue on? Continue to follow Christ, to feed his sheep, and to speak the truth in love, even when the world will not hear it. So let us then, in the words of the Collect, follow St. Peter in steadfastness of faith and boldness of confession, not in our own strength, but in the strength of him who said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.